Where are the best areas to invest in the UK? We're going to find out on this week's show. My name is Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. So, interestingly, talking about the best places in the UK to invest, we've done the research, we've gone through and we've worked it out, and statistically, we're going to share the best places. First thing I want to say is, some people say to me, look, surely it doesn't matter, because don't property prices, they go up wherever in the UK? It's like, yeah, that's kind of true.
Yeah, because they double every 10 years, don't they? Statistically.
Statistically, they do. I mean, I used to always hear that property prices double every 10 years. And I literally went and did some research and I went back all the way to 1930, which is like almost 100 years ago. That's as far back as I could sort of find the data. Do you know, put you on the spot here, Anna Leeds.
Oh.
Do you know what the average house price in the UK was in 1930?
1930, probably like, it was £500.
You're very close, actually. £400.
Oh.
So £400 in 1930.
I obviously wanted to go high end even back then.
yeah, of course, of course. A glamorous lady like you would want us,
would want the £500
house. £500 house. £400. And I thought, well, surely if it literally doubled, that would mean that in 1940 it was 800.
Yep.
And in 1950 it was 1,600, and so on and so forth. So I went through and worked it all out. By the time you got to 2020 doing that, it was just over 200 grand. But property prices are more.
Yeah, much more than
grand.
That.
A lot more. More like 300. So it actually means that statistically, on average, they have more than doubled for the last 100 years, which I think is crazy.
Yeah.
But it shows...
I mean, that in alone should sell anyone on investing in property.
Yeah, your money is literally going to double.
Yeah. That's all you need, really, isn't it? Proof, it has doubled every 10 years.
Whereas if you leave it in the bank, it's... shrinking. Now, some of this is inflation, etc. But the fact that you can leverage debt to buy properties, you can get a mortgage to buy property, but you benefit from all the capital appreciation is crazy. So, you definitely should invest in property. That's obvious, right? However, most people, we've come up with three common mistakes that most people make when they invest in property, okay? Because they hear this and they think, I need to invest, but they don't do the research, they don't go through all the figures, they don't look at the statistics, they do one of these three things. So number one, they just invest where they live. Invest close to home. Now, that could be good if you live somewhere that's good to invest, but it also could be really bad.
Yeah.
If you live somewhere like London, for example, which, by the way, makes the very bottom of our list, it doesn't even make the top 20 places to invest.
No.
In fact, it's one of the worst places to invest right now. If you live in London, should you invest in London? Probably not.
But I thought you promoted invest where you know. And surely where you live is where you know.
I do think that's important. I do think it's important that you know the area that you invest. But for example, I live in Beaconsfield. I don't invest in Beaconsfield. I do invest in places that I know, like in the Midlands, for example.
Yeah, but you've moved around a lot. So what about for people that don't move and have always lived in Manchester and only know Manchester?
I would recommend then invest in Manchester.
Okay. But someone who only has lived in London.
London,
yeah.
I would recommend going to an area. And Evans did this. Evans did the FF Challenge. He lived in London.
Yeah.
What did he do? He literally moved house to an area that he wanted to invest in.
So when you say know an area to invest in, you don't mean you've got to have lived there 20 years and know every side street and every little cut through and absolutely everything about it.
Pick a patch, invest in it. It does depend a little bit on what you're doing. So again, it all depends on your strategies. So if your strategy is property development, which is where I particularly say you should know the area well.
Yeah.
Then I don't think it really matters. London's fine for property development because you're building new.
Yeah.
So the high values, in fact, if anything, it works better in high value areas because the build costs are kind of similar. If you're building a property in Hull or building a property in London, it costs a bit more in London. The labor's a bit more expensive, but the cost of a brick is the cost of a brick.
Yeah.
Right. So it works well. What I'm talking about right now is buying pre-existing investment properties. If you're buying properties to invest in, I don't think London's a very good area.
So do you not think it's handy to have your investment properties near, close by to where you live for those emergency situations where you do need to nip down, or even if it's a BRR and you want to oversee building works and things like that, don't you think it's better to have a property close to home?
I think it's a pro. It is a pro. And if I was looking through this list that we're going to go through, I'd probably choose one of the places that was closer to where I am. But if you're thinking, if something goes wrong in an emergency, that's a pretty bad plan B. You know, if anything, being further away is a good thing.
Because you can't have
that. It forces you to not be able to go, well, I'll do the cleaning myself and, you know, oh, I'll just go and check in. It's like, no, you shouldn't be doing that anyway. You should be getting a team in place. Yeah.
But and what's useful if you do know an area is it's easier to find that team, isn't it? So if you've grown up in an area and know an area, you probably know a handyman, a builder, a cleaner. Well, if you don't know the area, you've kind of got to go source those core people. But then once you've got those core people, you kind of do know an area, don't you?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I feel like in my head when we're saying about knowing an area, it's really handy if you've got core people there. But once you've found that, you kind of feel like you're covered anyway because you've got the plumber to go in, you've got the electrician, you've got the cleaner. So it's not so important you live close by.
Exactly.
And like you say, actually, it's sometimes a blessing to not live that close.
It is a pro, choosing somewhere close to home. It is a pro, but it's nowhere near as much of a pro as the rest of the list. And also, because everyone lives in a different place, when I'm putting the list together, I've not factored in close to home at all. So that might be something that you want to factor in yourself and you look at it afterwards and go, well, I'm going to pick there because it's closer to home. But I have not factored that into this list because I don't know where you live.
Yeah.
I know where you live, but I don't know where people listening to this live. Next mistake people make, and this one's even worse than living close to home, the convenience link.
Yes.
AKA examples of this. My son is going to go to university in Leeds. So I'll buy somewhere in Leeds.
Yeah. I understand people, though. It's very tempting to do that. Like, I would be tempted to do that. Because you think, oh, killing two birds with one stone there. Like, brilliant. I needed a property there. I'll be visiting. Great. Why not invest?
But it's the same as buying your personal home is often not a very good investment because you're trying to killing two birds with one stone is the big mistake that you're making.
Yeah.
Trying to make it convenient. Oh, it doesn't make sense. This is an investment.
Yeah. Separate the two, haven't you?
It would be like buying a stock because you like watching. I'm going to buy Netflix because I enjoy watching Netflix. It's like that isn't relevant to whether Netflix is a good stock or not.
Yeah.
Just because you like it. It doesn't make any sense.
No, and actually what you end up doing quite often is, which is why personal homes normally aren't good investments, is you are prepared to pay more, you're prepared, because you're so emotionally attached to properties, which I'm a bit of a sucker for that. I go around property and if I really like it, I have to restrain myself from just thinking, I'll have it at any price. Because I think also estate agents, they're very aware of that and they can see that and then they take advantage and think, no, they really want this. We'll just pretend there's other bidders. There's like, so I do think you have to be very careful because it's so easily done. And and also I think you can't help but think, oh, would that tie in nice? Like when we were looking for investments, we could have got swayed by that, thinking, well, we want houses up in the Midlands because some of our family still live there. And before you know it, you think, oh, we had to rein ourselves back in, didn't we? And think, hang on a minute here. We're just now trying to find a nice house we want to live in.
Yeah. And if you're doing it for that, I'm not saying that's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, for example, we're talking about buying a holiday home somewhere. We're renting it out as Airbnb, but we want to use it as a holiday home, right? Now, if you are doing it because you want a holiday home and then you just kind of, fine. I'm not saying this is terrible, but if you're just thinking, I want to invest in property and you've got a limited amount of money that you're trying to maximize, don't just go and buy it in the wrong area just because you drive through it or your son lives there or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Be smart about where you actually invest.
Be smart. It's irrelevant. All right, next big mistake people make, number three, is they just buy the cheapest area possible. And they just think cheap
kind
must
of the
be good.
The other extreme.
Yeah. Just up north is cheap. Oh, yeah. Look, I could buy a house for 50 grand here. Yeah. 60 grand. Let's just buy it. The cheaper, the better. Now, it might be it's a good area. I'm not saying that is a...
Definitely a no go, but no. It doesn't... There might be reasons that's seriously cheap.
Yeah. Just because you assume it, just because it's low entry doesn't mean it's a high ROI.
Yeah.
It might be that the rental demand is terrible. It might be that you continually have problems with the property because it's in a... I mean, extreme example, there are properties that you can buy in Sicily, in Italy, for example, that you can buy for a quid.
Yeah.
Does that mean it's a good investment? Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
It's not the be all and end all.
But if you want one holiday home in a whole city where you're the only person living there and all the rest is derelict, maybe it is a good investment.
And you've got to spend more money than the property's worth bringing it up to standard.
So, it's not always just as simple as, oh, it's really, really cheap.
Yeah. In extreme cases, it could be actually a bad investment. You could lose money on deals like that. So it might be good, it might not. So
Go on then. We're all waiting in suspense.
You want to know the actual scoring system.
Is it top 10 have you done?
Top 10. Let me explain how I've scored them first.
Because you haven't actually told me. So I'm sitting here in suspense.
You're excited.
Of what the top 10 actually are.
All right. Now, before I tell you the top 10, let me tell you how I've scored it
and
what I've scored it on and what I think you should be looking for in an area. This is how you would do it. So here's the first thing. Number one, the growth forecast, the capital appreciation that's expected. So what we've done is we've looked at how much Savills, JLL, etc. expect those areas to rise in capital appreciation based on the regeneration, infrastructure and economic factors that affect house growth. So the higher that they're expected to grow, the higher the score we've given them. So that's the first factor, capital appreciation. Because while the UK house price market, for example, doubles every 10 years on average, number one, this is an average. Number two, areas don't necessarily do that equally. So what we're looking at is the next 5 years.
Yep.
For example, London right now is actually dropping. Yeah. London's the lowest expected capital appreciation rise over everywhere in the UK.
Yeah.
So if you want capital appreciation, don't invest in London right now. So that's the first one, growth forecast. Number two, the gross rental yield. Okay, the rental yield. So the yield is basically the rent versus the house price.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you had, for example, let's say in London, it's got low yields. Because while it is expensive rent, it's so expensive to buy, the yields are low. But also you could have a low yield. That 50 grand property we just talked about earlier, that could be a low yield. That could be a low yield if it was 50 grand to buy, but the rent was £100 a month.
Yeah.
Right? So we're looking at the yields to see on average, what's the average rent versus the average house price. This is super important.
Yeah.
Even if you're not planning on doing it as a buy-to-let, and we'll get onto other strategies later on, it's still important you've got the yield because you'll need a stress test, you'll need a backup plan, and it just gives you a general idea for the area. All right. Number three, buy, refurbish, refinance potential.
Yes. Great one.
So what we've looked at here is in the area... Can you buy rundown properties, number one?
Yeah.
And how much are they reduced when they're rundown? Because, for example, if you were going to buy a property, let's say there was a property that was totally rundown and it was on the market for 100K.
Yeah.
But renovating it was going to cost 50 grand and it was only going to be worth 150 because the house prices are low, like our 50 grand area. You don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
The house prices are low anyway.
Yeah, like how much are you going to... That you can't, because roads have values.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can increase your house. And it's great if you can find, you want to be buying the cheapest house on the road and making it up to the value of the highest houses. What you don't want to be doing, you can't just go into a road where every house is 100 grand and plop down and expect your mansion that would go for like 3 million here. It's not going to be worth 3 million there. You can't just go, yeah, but... Those houses go for 3 mil in Beaconsfield.
Exactly, exactly.
Isn't going to be worth 3 mil on a road that all the average houses are £100,000, however nice the house actually is.
Exactly. So what we're looking for is a couple of things. First of all, places that have got quite a lot of tired stock.
Yeah.
Because if you've got an area where all the houses are really nice and beautiful, like Dubai, for example.
Yeah.
They're all really, it's quite hard in Dubai to find rundown properties.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't really exist. So we want plenty of rundown properties, maybe auctions, maybe repossessions. We also want refurb costs that are modest compared to the ceiling values.
Yeah.
So this is what we're looking for. And ideally, this is the formula you want to go for. You want the purchase price,
yep,
plus the refurb cost to be less than 75% of the end value. You get that? Banging. So we're raising the areas based on that. Number four, serviced accommodation potential.
Yeah. That's always good because it's always a good way to make good money off your property, isn't it? If you can, if you can use it as serviced accommodation, it's always a great strategy.
Yeah. So serviced accommodation, it can literally triple your rental income compared to single let. So if there's local demand for that in the area, and what we're talking about is good occupancy rates, a good nightly rate, if that is there, that is really, really useful way of getting a lot more rent for your property.
Yeah.
And kind of linked to that, number five, and I've sort of bumped these two kind of together because if it's good for one of these,
it's normally
kind of okay. It's HMOs.
Yeah.
Similar. So HMOs, does it have good HMO potential? Might be a good student market. It might be a good local professional market. So we're looking at areas. Does it work well for HMOs? If it does, that is kind of the same as service accommodation, just a slightly different strategy.
Yep.
So there are the top five. The top five things that we're ranking on, and each one we've given a 20% sort of value to.
Yeah.
So this makes up if it's a good investment area or not. Okay, cool.
Okay, let's go.
Before we get onto the list, I just want to give you a...
The excitement and you're like, I keep getting there and thinking, right, I'm going to hear them now.
You can hear them. I just want to give you a couple of places that didn't make the cut before you're like, what about, because I know I've sort of poo-pooed London already. Poo-pooed London because it's the lowest growth forecast in the country. The yields are mostly below 5% and BRR in fringe boroughs are very capital. It's just a terrible area. But a couple of other areas that didn't make the list that people might go, oh, I thought that was good. Edinburgh.
I wouldn't have thought Edinburgh. Well, why would Edinburgh be good?
It's very good for service accommodation, so a lot of people think of it as a good place.
Yes, it is. I mean, true.
But it's also had heavy regulation on short lets since 2023. That's crushed that market as well. Yep. BRR margins are tight because most of the stock is already... It's just rubbish. Another one, Cambridge. People think, oh, it's a university city. Oh, historically, it's been resilient.
Do a hotel in Cambridge?
We have. We have done a hotel in Cambridge, but I'm talking residential property right now.
Yeah. So hotels, if you want to build a hotel.
Hotels work anywhere. Anywhere that it works as a hotel. This is for an investment residential property.
So, but does it not work SA though?
Yeah, SA, it scores good for SA, but overall, bear in mind, SA is just one small part of it. It's mostly the low growth forecast and extremely expensive refurb market.
Okay.
Oxford didn't make the cut.
See, and they're similar. I'd say Oxford and Cambridge, I would be thinking of them very similarly.
Very prestigious area, consistent capital values, good student demand. Same story as Cambridge.
Yeah, okay.
High prices, low yield, BRRs. I mean, I'm not saying you can't do BRRs there, but it's just not a great area to find BRR deals.
That must be still good for SA though.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So it depends on what you're looking for.
I've probably got somewhere that didn't make the cut.
Go on.
Even though it's phenomenal for SA, but it's just too high to get into it.
Go on.
Windsor.
Windsor didn't make the cut. It's probably not big enough to make my list, to be fair.
But that's insane for SA, isn't it? But the prices are just...
Another place that we actually really liked that didn't make the cut, Bath.
Wow. And I would say, Cambridge, Oxford, Bath, all similar cities, aren't they? Like, they're both all beautiful.
Yeah.
Attract a lot of tourists. So good for SA, but not good for anything else.
100%. By the way, if you want the full list explaining how we ranked it, all the rankings, top 20 places, places that didn't make the cut, everything, we're going to do a PDF download, okay? So if you somewhere in the description, we'll put a link, download it. It's totally free. It'll give you the full list. So it'll help you to choose the area that you want to invest in. So if you want that, it's in the description somewhere. Click it, download it. It'll be very, very useful. All right.
What we want to actually know, though, is the top 10 of where to
invest. Top 10. Shall I go in reverse order?
Yes.
Reverse order. So starting at number 10.
Yes.
Number 10. Good area for overall growth. It's predicted to grow 21%. I'm not going to go for all the stats. Okay, yeah. I'll just say, but it is Bristol.
Bristol. Okay.
Not the best yield in the world, but pretty good for serviced accommodation.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
And it's good for expected capital growth.
Okay.
So Bristol, somewhere Bristol to look at. Near Bath, but a lot much better investment area.
Yeah.
Number 9. Ooh. Birmingham. Nice. Now, you might not like Birmingham. I can tell by the look on your face. It's decent for BRR.
Yeah, I can imagine it's decent for BRR.
Service accommodation's good. HMO is okay.
I wouldn't want to own a HMO in Birmingham.
Samuel owns many HMOs in Birmingham.
But no, I can see it would work. Birmingham's not for me personally.
Slightly better than Birmingham.
Okay.
Wolverhampton.
Yeah. I would rather invest in Wolverhampton personally.
Similar growth forecast. It's got a better yield than Birmingham. Slightly better yield, 6.5%. Works well for BRRs because you've got a lot of affordable terraces that you can add a lot of value to. It's not great for serviced accommodation, but it does work well for HMOs. So HMO yields about 8-9%. So pretty good yield for HMOs. Wolverhampton, solid area to invest. It makes our top 10 list.
Yep, I like it. Wolverhampton.
Number 7, Sheffield.
Oh, okay.
Sheffield, good area for growth, stable, decent yield. Again, it's got a lot of terraced houses that are cheap, especially in postcodes S2 and S5. Service accommodation kind of sucks.
Yeah.
HMOs are okay.
Again, so it's a big one for BRRs.
It's good for BRRs, good for investing. It might be that you just want to do it as a single let or maybe as a HMO. But yeah, decent area, makes our top 10 list.
Okay, nice.
Number 6, and the best area in the Midlands to invest in. Right. So it wasn't obviously Wolverhampton, wasn't Birmingham. Where do you reckon? Midland area? It's in the East Midlands.
I don't know.
You don't know? Nottingham.
Nottingham.
Nottingham's got strong predicted growth, above average yields.
That's quite exciting. I like Nottingham.
Yeah, Nottingham's good. It's decent for service accommodation and HMOs. Both of them work.
Okay. We know people that have just moved to Nottingham.
Yeah, Nottingham's a good area to invest. Best area in the Midlands.
Yeah. Oh, go Midlands with Nottingham.
Number 5. This is our only area outside.
I'm guessing we're going to be going up north now.
Of England.
Even though everyone says, oh, outside of England.
Outside of England. Glasgow,
okay.
Glasgow is actually the second highest big city yields. So the rent to purchase price are really good.
Okay.
Works really well for BRR and serviced accommodation. Not amazing for HMOs, but serviced accommodation's great. It just kind of ticks all the boxes as a very decent area to invest in, especially if you live in Scotland. Now, if you don't live in Scotland, I probably wouldn't go for this one because the rules are different buying property in Scotland. And
yeah, you need to be clued up about that, don't
you?
Yeah,
so it's a bit different. But if you live in Scotland and you want to invest, Glasgow's a good city to do that.
Did Wales make the list?
Wales, unfortunately. What, just the whole country of Wales?
No, but anywhere in Wales make the list?
Cardiff did make the list, but not the top 10.
Oh.
So it's a decent area, Cardiff, but not.
So basically, don't invest in Wales.
Well, if you live in Wales, Cardiff's okay. Download the top 20 list and you'll find out all 20.
So Cardiff made the top 20?
It did.
Ah, okay.
All right. Number 4. It's one of your favourite places.
Oh.
Newcastle.
Yay!
It's got a really strong expected capital appreciation, 28.2% over the next 5 years, which is really good.
Maybe that's where we should next invest. I love Newcastle.
It's a bit far for us, isn't it?
I thought it didn't matter where it was.
Oh, well, I don't know the area.
I thought you said if it was far away, it was better.
Yeah, if you're picking it as a patch, but I didn't say better. You've got to go there at some point. Newcastle is like literally a flight away.
I know. I love Newcastle though.
Might as well invest in like France or Spain for us. It's got a good yield. It scores really well for both BRRs, serviced accommodation. You're looking at £100 to £110 a night, sort of 70% occupancy, so that's good. Good yield for HMOs. Just a really good area to invest.
I love that. Love that for Newcastle.
Number 3, Manchester.
Yes.
One of my favourite places, actually. Yeah. This is, I would probably be tempted to pick here over anywhere else on the list, even though statistically it's not as good as a couple of the others, but really good growth. The northwest of England is expected to have the best capital appreciation of anywhere.
I think Manchester, I know, again, you shouldn't let opinions of your personal opinions matter, but I can't help but want them in areas I actually like.
Yeah.
And I very much don't like Birmingham. And I feel like we can say that because that's where we're from. But I would never invest there. I don't like it. Now, Newcastle, I've got a real soft spot for. But actually, I agree with you. If I was investing anywhere now, I would probably go for Manchester.
Where? What? Let's Manchester down. Service accommodation, top tier.
Yeah.
Really high demand. Good night. It's scored it the highest it can for service accommodation. HMOs, really good as well. Really good yield for HMOs. What lets it down a little bit is the BRR aspect. Yeah. It can work better in some of the outer boroughs because the house prices are already reasonably strong. Yeah, it's okay. It's not bad, but yeah, it's not as good as some of the other areas. Number two.
Oh.
Our namesake.
Leeds. Wow, okay, yeah.
Leeds, good area. Not quite as strong expected to get the capital appreciation of Manchester. It's got a slightly better yield. BRRs, it's got a lot of terraces that are 40 or 50% under their done-up value, so yeah, they work well for that. You've also got a strong service accommodation market and a strong HMO market. It's basically like decent. It's not top tier at anything,
but
because it's quite good at everything, it's a bit of an all-rounder. Yeah. It just works for everything. It's just a good,
that's exciting. I like Leeds as well.
Investment
that's...
area.
So up north, looking good. If you're up north, you've got a lot.
Got a lot to go at.
Yeah. I think now it's quite obvious where number one's going to be, isn't it? I thought, there's one place when they say good investments that I kind of think always makes, and I think it's been number one for a while now.
Well, let me tell you the stats, then you can guess where it is.
And the fact that it hasn't been on the top 10, there is no way it has fallen out of the top 10.
So first of all, growth forecast, it's the best.
Okay.
Right, the highest. Over 29% expected. Number two, the yields. It's also the best. It's got the best yields. 7.7%, it's the highest. BRR, it's the highest ranking one. It's for BRRs. So,
and if you've ever been to this place, there's a lot of available BRRs.
Yeah.
Like you drive through thinking, BRR, BRR, BRR.
So from literally a buying point of view, it's the best. It isn't the best for SA.
Yeah.
It's okay, works, but it's okay. And for HMOs, it's decent. A 10.5% yield. It's actually the best yield, actually, for HMOs as well. So, yeah, for HMOs.
I think it makes sense, though, that it's not... If it's the best at everything else, it would kind of make sense. It's not the best for SA.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a bit...
So it's great for HMOs. Yeah. It's great for BRR. It's brilliant for just yield, so your house price versus your rent.
Yeah.
And it's the highest for what we expect capital appreciation. So the number one place, the place if you're going to pick a patch, you're starting from scratch, you don't
imagine
have any,
if I'd said it wrong now and it wasn't what I was thinking.
You don't have any like affiliations. You're not like, if you, it doesn't matter about anything. You just want that best statistical place to invest. You're going to have to download the guide. No, you're not. Anna, where is it?
Liverpool. Surely it's Liverpool.
It is Liverpool. Liverpool is the best place to invest. So on that bombshell, it's time to end. I've been Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And we'll see you next week.